Hi everyone. I'm dead.
Hi, Chuck. Roy,
Yeah,
Roy.
that was my Chuck Joyner impression. All right, let's try that again. Hi everyone. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your ho no, what show are we doing? Holy crap. Okay, let's try it again.
Gotta put the bloopers on this too.
Jeff, you make me feel so much better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Don't worry, I'll edit all of
Oh,
this out. No
trust
one
me,
will ever see it.
I choked up on that Wednesday night. I had to mute myself a couple times.
I just thought you were that excited.
Yeah,
All
you
right,
probably
let's
saw
l
me going.
Yeah. Okay.
Clear that
Yeah.
throat.
Top man. Okay, here we go. Let's try this again. Yeah. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your host, and clearly, I am a professional. I don't know, I'm using that term very loosely. Anyhow, I am surrounded by amazingly awesome people, all of whom today happen to be in the United States here on the British Tech Network. Dave, how are you doing?
AKA the American Tech Network today. I
Right.
am doing very good. It's Friday. I'm working today. How's that? So you think I don't I'm only taking all these days off, but I'm kind of working today, but we do have our holiday party tonight, so they let us work from home, so quote unquote. So, holiday party. We got to have that too. Looking forward to the long time off a week from today. I'll be off the rest of the year. So it's good times. And Chuck Bezley always like you have more days than you know what to do with.
And when you are working, you're preparing for a party. I mean, it
Yeah.
just,
I'm not
I'm doing
preparing for it.
something.
I'm just going. I'm just
I'm
you're
doing something
emotionally
wrong.
preparing.
I'm doing
I
something
think at
wrong.
least three or four other offices of my colleagues are they're going to parties tonight too. So anyway, no, doing great. Had a good podcast this week with Katie from Ecamm. We're gonna get that published today. It's already out on the
Awesome.
YouTube. We had a good time. So glad to be here.
Awesome. And Chuck, the man who apparently is incredibly envious of Dave's work schedule, and understandably so. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've sort of been off for the wrong reasons this week, or at least working at only half speed, because I came down with, I don't know what I came down with, but I came down with something that really robbed me of my voice. And so it's still a little rough, but it's one of those two steps forward, one step back kind of weeks in recovery. But here I am. I didn't want to miss this.
Well, I'm glad you're upright and
Yeah.
breathing, and I have to say, one of the meetings we were both in together earlier this week, I say this with love, you looked like hell.
Yeah, well, that was one of those meetings I really didn't want to miss. In fact, I was late getting to that meeting because of a doctor's appointment, but I did make it.
You
But
did.
yeah, but you were your assessment, Dr. Gamut, is quite accurate.
Yeah, well, I call him like I see him. And
Yeah,
what I saw was not healthy.
and fortunately that meeting was not recorded anywhere, so that was the one good thing about it.
Right, that was not recorded anywhere. Yeah, everyone's new contacts photo for you after that meeting looks kind of like this.
Thank you for that heartwarming impression, Jeff.
Yeah, and for all of you that are listening instead of watching, I'll do the facial expression again so you can hear it.
Don't make him laugh too much. He might get choked up, so
Yeah, that would be bad.
Okay, from now on, I'm not coming to any meetings with the video on. That
I get it. Yep. Marty, how are you doing?
I am got up early, had to attend a board meeting because I was giving a report at it. And I love it when they start out board meetings with, let's all introduce ourselves.
Chuck, give us your.
What do you think we're doing right now?
Well,
but this is different.
We hopefully are not going to take 45 minutes to do it.
Then there's that.
Yeah. So I missed breakfast, so I kind of grabbed breakfast between that and this show and cut up some cheese and cut up some, I don't know, smoked sausage kind of
breakfast of champions.
Slim Jim things. We have a place in around Kent that I guess it's farm to table, or I should say slaughter to table. Mm-hmm. And you go down there and they have every possible function of meat that they could take off an animal. The irony is they're also very devout Christians. So on their labels, pricing labels right on it, they always put the little quote, Jesus saves. And every time I see that, I'm like, he didn't do much for the pig now, did he?
But maybe they mean fiscally, like Jesus has a little
bank must be account. It must be a bank.
Yeah, but so yeah, that way, was my pig breakfast. Is disappointed.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah,
I'm glad I showed up for this session.
me too. Yeah. And Ewan is probably continually questioning why when his schedule put him in a position where he had to step back some, why he's like, Jeff, can you host? It's for the comedic value. That must be it. Yeah. Anyhow.
You provide plenty of laughs for us. That's for sure.
You're welcome. Yeah. So, speaking of thanks and welcome and all that, Dave, thank you for letting us crib from the In Touch with iOS show notes.
Absolutely.
Especially because I'm lazy. No, wait. There's stuff going on, and I need all the help I can get. So I figure let's talk about some Apple news while we're here. And why not start with some Google news, because we're talking Apple. But it does involve Apple, because Apple and Google have partnered to, or they're collaborating to make tools, a tool, I guess, so that it's much easier to jump from Android to iPhone and back. So you can get whichever phone you want, and then transition between your platforms. And so that's something that Apple and Google are making happen right now. And by the way, everyone, once again, I'm having weird audio issues, and I blame Apple for that. So I could not for the life of me get audio to go to the live stream. So when the show is posted, there will probably be a short lag between when the show is live and when all of the links show up in the chat archive, so that you can go and find them. Just so you know, it's not a you problem. It's a me thing. But anyhow, Google and Apple making it easier to switch platforms.
Yeah, I jumped them. See, I got them both here, so they jumped. See?
Yeah.
Yeah, I so, just go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
No, I just said that they were jumping. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just purchased a Pixel because I was getting bored, and
like me.
When I set it up, I'm running the developer beta on my iPhone, but I don't know if that matters. But when I set it up, it said, we can recognize another phone if you have another phone. And it was able to find my iPhone Air and say, okay, let's line up and see what apps we can port over, or at least set up for you on your new Pixel phone. And it gave a nice sweet list of apps that I could easily set up, Todoist and things like that, that are cross-platform apps that I had on my iPhone Air. And it was like punch a button and it loaded all of them. So it was pretty cool.
So that answers my first question about this whole process is I get the idea that contacts are pretty easy to swap back and forth and those kind of things. But the apps thing is really a big question for me, for anybody that wants to go either direction. I mean, we'll set that aside as to which direction you should go. But Marty, so I didn't realize that there were apps that were cross-platform between the two. So that answers part of that question. Are we talking now? You mentioned Todoist. Are we talking major productivity apps, or or just some of the offbeat stuff?
No, I like to use things, but that's just totally Mac environment. The alternative to things that I like to use or can use is Todoist because it's cross-platform. And so it gave me the option to load Todoist, which was on my iPhone Air, but it didn't give me, I don't think it gave me the option to load things.
Probably
So,
not.
yeah. So, Dave, you probably know other cross-platform apps because you've been playing with it longer.
I mean, obviously all the Google apps and such, but Pocket Cast is cross-platform, so that comes over ChatGPT. Some of the bigger ones, all the Microsoft apps will come over because if it senses it and you don't have it installed. So I haven't gone through a full wipe of the Android, the Pixel 10 yet, but I think I might do that now since we can do this. I'd love to see what how it does its thing. So, and I mean, I got a fair amount of apps on here, like Paramount Plus and T-Mobile, Prime Video, all that. But even Zoom is on here. So as long as it sees the app, it says, oh yeah, we can install that for you. It senses it. As long as it's on both platforms, and these days a lot of them are, so.
And I'm assuming the way Google's transfer tool works is that it will only look to the Google Play Store. And so if it's an Android app but it's not available through Google's own store, then it won't do the data transfer and app setup for you.
So that, thank you, Jeff, because that sort of goes where I was going. And so I don't sound like a complete idiot. Yes, I
No,
understand there are
that's my
plenty of
job.
these. Okay, good, thanks. There are plenty of apps that are cross-platform in the sense of the data being used. I didn't realize that, an app A on the phone and app A on the Google side are the same apps all wrapped in one. So that's, but you again, you got to where I was going. So, Marty, did they transfer the apps over, or did they go and grab them from the Google store? Do you know? Or did you have any way of telling?
I didn't have any way of telling. Obviously, they did not set any of the apps up, so I still had to sign in on my
Oh, okay.
Pixel. And it didn't. It you know, at, once I signed in on my Pixel, I could set the app up to sync with the cloud and get all the data over, like on a Todoist list, get all the data over by doing the sync. But yeah, I mean, it just gave you the bare app ready to run. And so you do still have to put in your login information and all of that. So,
So,
Chuck,
there's still some. Oh, sorry, Jeff. There's still some pain associated with it, is what I'm hearing.
And again, making a conscious effort to put any information into a Google ecosystem is another kind of moral dilemma. But yeah.
And don't forget, this is in their beta, the canary build, they call it. So I haven't gone down that road in a long time, so that'll take me a little bit to get. Seems like you had no problem getting your Pixel 10 set up in their beta world. So that it is still beta. So
And Chuck, I'm pretty sure that the compiles, that the actual part that runs on each platform is unique. So I don't think that they can copy an iPhone version of the app, if it's cross-platform, and just drag it over essentially to Android. I think it has to identify the app on the phone, on your iPhone, and then it finds the corresponding app on the Google Play Store, and then just downloads it directly.
Okay. So just, I mean, since at least I'm doing kind of an analysis here, I'm thinking, okay, that's great. It's identified it, but I've still got some time to do the downloads, depending on how many of these there are. And then I have to go through the pain that Marty talked about of signing into each of those apps. So it's not, and we're talking right now from the Mac perspective going to the Pixel perspective. I don't know if the same would, I would guess the same would have to be in reverse.
I'm assuming so.
Yeah. So there's still some pain associated with moving between
Yeah, and
platforms.
the selection process is you get a list of apps and you get those little empty target dots, and then you select which ones you do want to port over. Because there's a lot that came up. It's like, I don't even remember why I put this on my iPhone, let alone why would I put it on a Pixel. And so I just kind of made the bare minimum choices of things that would be functional or productive for me.
All right, so here's my perspective on the whole thing. This isn't a collaboration where Apple and Google are saying, you know what would be really nice is if we were besties and we just made this super easy peasy for all of our users because we love everyone. I firmly believe there's nothing altruistic about this at all. This is a move where both companies decided, hey, we should collaborate and make this happen before we have government regulators from however many countries coming down on us with anti-competitive monopoly complaints. And this is a preemptive move to keep governments off their back. That's my take.
And Jeff, you know what? I, as much as I would like to see pain eliminated, especially if you're going from Pixel over to iPhone, I'm not sure that it would be a good idea to have all of that moved over, because then you have security issues. If somebody gets my phone, if they get my iPhone, they could move it over, move everything over to a Pixel, including my logins and all that. So I guess you really can't do that.
Yeah, body parts, probably not.
Yeah, that, I mean, again, I'm looking at, gee, if I wanted to go one direction or the other, I've still got to go through some pain. But you know, we're right back to it. That means security. So
They would
I
have to
may
be
feel better
signed
about
into
that.
your iPhone in order to be able to do the transfer. And
Good
I
point.
can't remember if it was like scanning a QR code that was generated or what it was to actually initiate the link, but there was a security piece in that too.
I didn't try it with my beta iPhone because it's saying it's in a future iOS 26 developer beta. So it did work for you on your beta version on iOS? Okay. So I'll just try it with the 16e I have then.
Cool. All right. Next story. Speaking of companies that are all friendly with each other and just love each other so much, Apple and Epic. So Apple has had a little bit of a win in their ongoing battle with Epic, and so what Apple managed to win this time in court was that they were able to get the courts to rule that there won't be a complete ban on Apple charging commissions on content purchases or purchases through apps from third party, the whole Epic thing where Epic wants to be able to send people from their app to buy stuff and bypass Apple. Apple says, hey, you're still using our systems, So you need to pay us a commission. And Epic is like, no, we don't want to do that. But by the way, we're going to do exactly that with people selling through our app store, tee hee hee. So anyhow, the complete ban on Apple being able to charge a fee for these transactions, it will not happen. No, wait, the ban will not happen. So what it means, though, is that Apple and Epic are now expected to negotiate, to come up with a reasonable payment, and Epic is saying, though, there is no reasonable payment. We should just be able to do whatever we want, and not ever give Apple money. So it may turn into a situation where the court actually dictates what that payment will be. And I assume this means that will end up cascading out to apply to other app developers as well. So there you go. That's my super rambly, should have been condensed, explanation of the story.
Jeff, that's my understanding too, that and as from our perspective anyway, as usual, Epic is being a little bit unrealistic and unreasonable. Okay, a lot unrealistic and unreasonable. And I'm encouraged by the fact that the court has decided that Apple is entitled to some kind of payment. Because that sort of validates the position I've had all along that Apple built the store. They kind of have certain, they should have certain rights about what goes in and should be paid for building and maintaining that store. And so it sounds like the court, if my understanding is as yours is, it sounds like the court agrees with that thinking. Now, will it be, it probably won't be the 30% that Apple would like to see, how much it'll be and whether that it will be adequate in anybody's eyes. Is another matter. But at least we've come around to some decent thinking about being paid for something that you've invested all that time, money, and effort in building and maintaining.
Yeah, this is an epic pissing contest. And therein lies the show title. But
I'm writing
You
that one
know, there's
down.
an old joke about whether you will or you won't, and the end determination was how much you would do it for, and the joke is, well, we've determined that you would. Now we're just haggling the price, and in this case, they're haggling the price. Apple threw out a 27%, which is a big FU, I think, as a commission thing. And now they're trying to work a way that's equitable and not discouraging from people using potentially using an outside source for apps. So we're gonna have people have the two businesses count down from 27% to, will you take 26? Will you take 25?
And just so everyone knows, this is in the this court battle is in the United States. So it means that when this final decision is reached, it applies just to sales in the United States. However, it's a safe bet that once this case is resolved, that the outcome of this will eventually spread to Apple's app stores across the world.
And we'll also give leverage for other external labs, app stores to ask for the same thing.
So, yeah, here's how I see this playing out. We get the resolution here. We have whatever number everyone finally agreed to or was decreed upon them, and then other countries, and developers in other countries as well will start saying, okay, now what about us? And the same thing or something similar will start getting implemented in other countries. And then it will also cascade out to app stores for other platforms. So Google will end up in the same boat, Samsung, whoever else is making their app stores.
Yeah, agreed.
What are the other countries to look for this in? I mean, what comes to mind is India, because I know Apple's been in some issues in terms of India and phones and what can be put on the phone and what can't be put on the phone. So.
I think India will be a place that we'll have to watch. The EU in general, because the EU has already mandated some things about how app stores operate. So this is something that I think will be an easy fit into what they're already going for.
Yeah, and I've kind of lost track of how. I mean, it seemed like there were a lot of Me Toos going on. Wasn't Brazil one?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, right.
So it seemed like everybody's started seeing the same opportunities here for finding Apple to help fund their countries. And so,
Cha-ching.
yeah, that's there's a show title
Which
too,
is so,
Jeff.
yeah. It's so weird because I always thought that's what taxes were for. But what do I know? Yeah. All right. I'm bringing this one up because we have ChatGPT users and Marty, I believe, and Dave too. You've already played with this. ChatGPT 5.2 rolled out as we record today, and you've both have played with it a little bit. So I'm curious what your experience was like.
Go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, I had, as I said, I had this board meeting this morning and I had to put together a report. And instead of just creating a list of stuff, I decided to run. I saw that 5.2 was out. As soon as I opened up my ChatGPT app on my desktop, I noticed it changed from 5.1 to 5.2. And what I did was drop a bunch of statements that I wanted to make in terms of the committee that I'm chairing to for this board meeting and ask it to organize it into a verbal report that I could give. And it did, it acted really quickly. I was surprised how quickly it acted and put together a really nice report. Now I put a lot of content in there for the process, so but I just didn't want to organize it and didn't want to put it into a smooth fashion in terms of a report, and ChatGPT did that for me. I haven't used it on complex stuff. I mean, I want to start putting multiple documents in to get an analysis and things like that. The data on it looks pretty good from the article that you've shared, in terms of its outcome. But they're in a race with other LLMs and other AI products to kind of stay on top. It seems like they do have the top numbers in terms of usage compared to, but Gemini's, snipping at their butt right now, just right behind them in numbers. And so they feel like they're in a rather competitive market, and maybe this will help.
Yeah, I too had did some quick analysis and stuff. It seemed quicker. It seemed I was getting some good results. Did need to play a little bit more, but I mean, ChatGPT, I mean, let's face it, OpenAI is dominant in this as an AI tool, And I was just to go off sidetrack here, but you've got OpenAI, you've got Gemini for Google, and then Copilot's like getting to be distantly going. I'm seeing stories about they're stepping back what they're doing on AI. So and I don't think Chuck's crying too much about that either. But I mean, they just keep innovating with what they do with this tool, and there's just so many people that are using it these days. Just good to see that they've. I think this was pretty quick because if I put one, that didn't come out more than a few months ago. I don't think so. It's been a great tool.
They're in a race, and one of the best parts of the race is reportedly this has delayed them from doing ads with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Good.
Because they're
Good.
trying to have good product out. And, as they said, all hands on deck
Right.
in terms of improving this product. So,
Yeah.
by the way,
Oh, go
just to
ahead.
be clear, just to be clear, I'm taking some credit for the potential demise of Copilot.
Okay, good.
I've done my best, folks. I've done my best.
See,
Yeah, it's
I'm stuck
still
with it either
Nagware,
way
though.
working, so.
Yeah.
Chuck is proof that not all heroes wear capes.
No, we just cough a lot.
Yeah, well, whatever it takes, right? I mean, if that's how you're marking your territory, hey, it could be a lot worse.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. How about if I mention real quick that MKBHD has their devices of the year thing out, and the best design award went to iPhone Air, most improved for iPhone 17, phone of the year, iPhone 17, but the bust of the year, iPhone 16e.
Not surprising.
Yeah, and Marquez, he the best part about this, and Dave, I think it was you that said this, so credit where credit's due. The best part about his discussions about his best of things, it's the insights he gives about everything.
Yeah, I mean, I love it when I see his table in front of him, and he's got he must have a it must seems like 50 or 100 phones sitting in front of him. Of course, all of them being gladly sent to him for a review units. And so that's why you value a guy who has over 20 million followers on YouTube. And I think he's very valued. I mean, I'm sure that video's already got 4 or 5 million views as it is anyway, because every year he does it. And yeah, it was surprising to have that many, because a lot there's some years that I'd watch it and he wouldn't be any iPhones in there, at least not as prominent as this was. But the 17 was a good sweet spot for a lot of people. I think that iPhone 17 has sold really well for Apple. Not like us, who we like to have the Pro or Pro Max. But that's where the market is. You want everyday people who want a good phone, but they love iPhones, and why would they want to spend all that extra money on the Pro if they don't really need to have the Pro features on it? Even with the Air, I know, Aunt Marty, you said you've been enjoying it. You know, it's they keep saying that it's not been a huge seller. Disappointing. They rumor saying the production was dropped and all that, but it is a very innovative product. But it's probably the precursor to, as they keep rumoring about Apple having a foldable iPhone, like potentially next year. Things
The
like
thing
that.
is, it's not a it's it's the Air is not a big seller, but people who get it love it. Almost with an Android kind of fervor that we hear folks who love Android phones. Every time someone brings it up in terms of, and I'm at Reddit's not an independent poll, but every time somebody brings it up, people are commenting. They just love it. I like it. It's very portable. It does what I need to do. And I'm not a, if I'm going to do photography, I'm going to take out my Pro Max and do the photography there. So, Yeah, I just I think that all media commentators like Marquise need to be do it for free. It should be out of altruism and not out of the millions of cars that he has and all sorts of other stuff. And when somebody gets that too self-important, it's like, I'm done with you. You know, Buddhism won't let me go that way anymore. So.
I get really frustrated when people, if they can't give really objective reasons, there's some objective reasons that the iPhone Air falls short in some people's eyes. You know, okay, yes, it has lower battery life. That's sort of kind of the point. Yes, it's a smaller screen because yes, it's supposed to be.
But it's
You know,
still a big screen.
it's still a big screen. Yeah, I mean, Brittany Smith has made that point, you know, multiple times. But the idea that you know it is for a particular audience, and unfortunately, we've all been trained, and especially the four of us, and a lot of our listeners and viewers have been trained and desire that we want the best specs. You know, we're looking for the best experience, the best this, the best that. And not everybody needs the best. You know, witness some of the discussions we've had over the years, over really this year, about iPads as an ideal thing for, sorry, folks, but, you know, the older generation that really are primarily interested in surfing and reading and, excuse me, surfing and email.
Right.
Do you really need, you know, the M5 chip to do surfing and email? You know, you want a great screen. So I wish there was a way they could start grading things and say, this device is not great for the Jeff Gamets and the Dave Ginsbergs, but it's great for, you know, Ma and Pa Kettle, who, you know, are just looking for something basic.
I think,
It just,
yeah.
yeah, I don't know. Marty, maybe you disagree with that, but it just feels like there are some products that are objectively bad or objectively wanting. No question about it. But some of the others they kind of condemn, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I have sitting in front of me on chargers because I don't worry about battery life or I don't worry about wearing down my battery because I'm going to swap it out next year anyways. I've got an iPhone Air and I have a iPhone 17 Pro Max. The 17 Pro Max sits in the charger pretty exclusively. When I leave, I grab the Air. I don't grab the Max. So it's meeting most of the needs that I have. I think what happens is people go into the store, they pick up the iPhone Air and they go, oh, well, this is pretty interesting. Look at how light it is. Da, 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 da. And then they get sold upsold to a 17. And they walk out of the store with a different product than the product that they enjoyed because they don't want to take a risk on it.
And look, there's some good reasons to be upsold. You know,
Yeah.
that's what salesmen do. But there's some very definite reasons that the 17 and the 17 Pro Max are better in certain areas. But
Yeah,
sorry,
like
Jeff.
you've pointed out, it depends on your use case. And this is why Dave has every single model iPhone within arm's reach because of all the use cases.
Yeah, I sold my 16E. Well, I didn't sell my 16E. I traded it in order to get the Pixel 10 because I wasn't using my 16E. So I must have gotten that just before the bad news came out that that is the bad phone of the year or something.
Well, good timing on your part.
Yeah.
All right. So we have our live stream usually and our live chat usually, not today. Drat you, Apple, and your software updates that screw up my audio. Anyhow, so that whole system. Got updated a couple years ago by Patrice because she's that smart and totally modernized everything. And the way it works now is when you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com, you see the live stream and you see the live chat all together, so you can interact with us in real time, and you can see the links to all of the articles and cool things that we discuss, and it's super slick and works really well. So that live chat does get saved, so you can go and see those links later on if you want. And to get to that, you go to I'm looking up as if I have notes up here, and I do not. BritishTechNetwork.com/chat, as I recall. And then there'll be a calendar there. Click on the date for the show. So for today, that would be Friday, December 12th, 2025. And then you can see all of the links. Like I said, because of the audio issues that we're having on my end, the text will be there, just not at the same time that the show recording goes live. But they'll show up. But there you go. And you can go and check show notes for everything we've done back to, I believe, 2015. So go and check and see some of the ridiculous things we used to say, as if we have stopped saying ridiculous things. Patrice, thanks for making all that work, and everyone, use it because it's awesome. Okay, speaking of awesome, Awe Technologies is our sponsor. And what they're doing is making sure we have the server space for web hosting, for show files, so you can see what's going on and listen to shows, watch shows anytime you want. And they're also making sure we have the resources to be able to live stream to you. And without their help, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So we really appreciate that. That's how they're helping us. Here's how they can help you. If you have the need to have on-site real-time monitoring, remote, where you need like the cameras and all the different sensors and stuff, that's what Awe Technologies does. So hit them up, use them for all of your monitoring needs. They're going to take care of you. Check them out. Their website is awetechnology.co.uk. And hey, thank you, Awe Technology, for being our sponsor. And now it's time to do some cool things. And it looks to me like the first cool thing we have this week is from Dave. And you're muted, Dave.
Hear me because I'm muted. Here we are. Yes, I discovered this item because I helped my brother-in-law. He owned it. He actually bought it during the kit when they had it out on Kickstarter. It's made by a company called Fuse Reels. It's the MRK1. It's a portable webcam light. This is it here. It is pretty incredible. I mean, it's lightweight, it's magnetic, so this comes off, and all the controls are on the side as far as like you can do temperature changes. Let me show you the back. There's the back there on both ends. The power's right on the bottom here. And it's got numerous ways to mount. This bracket comes out and you just pull it out, and it has a mount here that you can actually adhesive to the monitors, and it just slips through here, so you can have the lights sitting on both left and right sides of your monitor. Comes with a power cable and to charge it. It's got full battery that's built in, so you can have run on battery, which is another great reason. I don't want to blind you out here, but the light is very, very bright, and it can be turned down. And it's I think it's a I'm very impressed with this thing. Only $30 for one of them. You can buy two and get the pair. It even has its box. I was kind of impressed too. It's very elegant. Look at this box. I mean, it just pops open, and you just pull this open, and it's got all the stuff on. You're ready to go. And pretty impressive of that product, I must say. And you know, of course, I have more lights than I know what to do with, but that's how, that's me. But I think if anybody who, especially for traveling, you want to have a good light, you can have, you only need to bring one probably, and it works really well. So
awesome. And only $30.
$30 for one, and so you could buy two of them, which I did.
Very cool. Well, of course you buy two, because
you
want to have balanced
lighting.
Well,
you got one on each side.
Yeah, that makes sense. Awesome. All right, and Chuck, it's your turn.
Okay, this is a bit of a questionable pick in my mind, because I only recently received it, and since I was down with the bug this week, I really haven't had a chance to work with it. It was on Black Friday deal, and I've been wanting to play around with 360-degree videography. And there's some others out there that are recognized as, you know, the top-notch choices, but they also come with higher prices. And so this, I watched a lot of the reviews and videos on this. This is described as a really good 360 starter camera. And this is the Akaso, A-K-A-S-O, 360-degree action camera. It's 5.7 360-degree video, and it comes with a selfie stick that can apparently, and I say apparently because I haven't tried it yet, so I can't quite endorse it, will be one of those that disappears when you're doing the video, so that it just looks like you have a drone following you around all the time. I've only played with it probably for about 2 hours, and I'm kind of impressed with what I've seen so far. Working with 360-degree video is a lot different, and so I'm sort of, for pardon the pun, wrapping my head around that, as well as figuring out how I might be able to use it. But right now, its standard price is $199, which compares very favorably with some of the others that are up in the $400 and $500s. So I'm going to say, if you want to get into this or experiment with it, give it a shot. It's on Amazon for that price. Of course, there's always the extended Christmas return. So I'm not advocating that you buy it just to return it. But if you are looking at something like this and feel like you kind of don't want to invest the money but want to play with it, yeah, I think it's something worth looking into. It was for me, put it that way. Actually, I'm asleep here. I'm not into yet. Here it is.
Nice.
So
nice.
I
looked at the price history. It looks like you got a good deal on Black Friday too.
Yeah, I did, Jeff or just Dave. Yeah, I did. Sorry. Oh man, I'm telling you, it's rough here.
I know, it's hard to tell beautiful people apart.
It is. Right. It is. So, you know, if you're into it, I think it's worth checking out. So go for it.
Awesome. Okay, Marty, it is your turn.
Yeah, and this might have been presented here before. I know Dave talked about it on Chuck's holiday buying guide show. I got one and absolutely love it. It's the Logitech MX Master 4 for Mac. I have always thought all the bad press that the Magic Mouse gets with Apple, I didn't understand, because I love the Magic Mouse. I love the Surface scrolling across the top. Mm-hmm. I love the simplicity of it. And frankly, this is about twice the size of a Magic, or 1.5 times the size of a Magic Mouse. And it has quite a bit of bulk to it. But this has so many button options on it that I have gone to, this is the mouse I'm using now in lieu of the Magic Mouse. I pack the Magic Mouse in my travel case, and when I go to campus, I'll take that. This one stays on my desktop. Just the setup, there is a setup for it that will take you through all the button actions and how you can direct the button actions. It's haptic, so you get a feedback on it. You can set the haptic up, so every time you go to another screen, you get a haptic notice. You can over program this mouse in lots of ways.
Right in that button
to keep
right there.
It simple. Yeah. Yeah. And it is, and then there's a left right scrolling wheel that if you're in a large area and you want to scroll from one spreadsheet to another, or if you're doing things like Premiere or Final Cut Pro, you can travel along the timeline by using the side scroll instead of the grab and move things that we do. I'm really enjoying this mouse. I dropped it like last week and I picked it up and started using it, and my scroll wheel felt like it was clicking and not smooth. And I'm like, I couldn't remember if I had a smooth scroll wheel or not. And then I realized the button on the top, right behind the scroll wheel, changes whether you go from a clicking wheel to a smooth wheel. And apparently, when I dropped it on that button. So I pressed the button again and got back my
See, I didn't even
free
know that.
scrolling.
I see it smoother when I pushed it.
And
I
because
like
I
it.
like the smooth feel of, again, the Magic Mouse in terms of scrolling. So yeah, it's $119. I think at times I've seen it go below that. I think I got it at like 90 at one point. I think it's pretty solid. If you look at the price history, we're not going to see any changes between now and Christmas on it, but
Yeah, that one
it's.
hasn't gone down because I've owned this mouse probably. I've got the last three models of the MX Master series, and so I've seen them all. I still have them too, and this mouse by far is the best, the creme de la creme. I mean, I go between the Magic Trackpad. I use that at work a lot most of the time, but I have this mouse. The other thing I mentioned too is you have the capabilities of being able to program three different computers to connect to it. So that's how I've been doing it now. I've got my work computer on number three and got this computer on number two, and then you have number one. So you've got that too. And the good thing is it's built-in battery, so you can recharge it, which is awesome. No changing batteries like you had to do in the
And you
past.
don't have to turn the mouse over to charge it.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
There's
it's right in the front. It's that port.
that.
The
Yeah,
other thing,
ports
the reason I,
like what Apple
yeah.
should be doing, the port should be right there in the
Yeah.
front.
The reason I got it was I went to too many hotel rooms where they had glass tabletops. And this works on glass tabletops. And having to jerry-rig a setup on my desktop because I didn't bring a mouse pad with me to be able to. So yeah, I that was the primary thing. I found a mouse that I could use on glass tabletops.
Now, I have this in my reach because I'm using it, just so you guys know. I didn't have to go somewhere to get it.
And Chuck, we just missed your sharp wit because you're muted.
I'm sorry. Yes. I said that it doesn't matter what Dave pulls out. He never has to go far. I his arm, he must have like gorilla arms. That's all I
Phrasing,
can figure. Phrasing.
phrasing.
I didn't
Okay.
even hear it when I said it. Okay.
That's why.
And the complaint that I have about this is that
Lefty.
they don't make a left-handed version of this.
That's the one thing. I am left-handed, but I am mouse right-handed, so it doesn't bother me.
Hold on, I'm writing down more show titles. Okay, so I believe it is now my turn. And I'm bringing an app today, and it's called Badgify for the Mac. And what it does is it adds a little menu bar item where you can manage the notifications that you see, and you can also add apps to it. So, like if you have a group of apps that you like to use all the time, you can just have quick access to them right there. And so there's a story behind why I installed this app. You can use it for free, but there are some features that you don't get if you're using the free version. And if you want to use it, or if you want to pay for it, I think it's like $9 or $10 a month, but
It's
they
$9 per year.
or per year, excuse me, per year. But they do a perpetual license purchase for like $20. So, you have options. And But anyhow, the reason that I'm using this is because I came up with a very frustrating problem, thanks to macOS Big Lakes, and which is my audio would start to die, and it would just get like all kind of Cylon-y sound, and then I just lose all my audio. And so I was having to go into Terminal and do the pkill command for Core Audio D, and I was doing this a lot. And so I realized, even with using a snippet and expanding that out so I don't have to type the whole thing, it was still a lot of steps because I have to launch Terminal, have to type in the command, and then authenticate, and then it would fix the audio. So why not turn that into just a clickable thing? I made a shortcut that does the terminal command for me. And then it was like, well, now I've got this. So what, do I let it live in the dock all the time, which I have hidden most of the time anyhow? Do I put it on the desktop so it's just there? And neither seemed like a good fit for me. And then I found Badgify. So now in my menu bar, I have a little icon for the one shortcut, and if my audio starts to go to crap on me, I just go up and click on that in the menu bar, and it runs my terminal command for me and fixes my audio. Badgify, there you go.
Seems pretty cool.
Nice.
It's not in the Mac App Store
Yeah, because they
that I
have
can find.
it's you download right from the site.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming
Because of
that
pricing, their pricing mark. Yeah.
So,
Jeff,
yeah.
is it fair to say that this supports only those apps that support badging already,
No.
but it just puts it in a different location, or does it
No,
Does it, is it
this
to
lets you
doing?
make it happen yourself.
Oh, okay.
So, like in my case, I have a shortcut icon in the menu bar, and you can go through and pick the apps you want to have notifications for, and have that show up in there too. So,
Interesting. Did you pay
yeah,
for the upgrade?
I haven't yet because I wanted to make sure that it was reliably doing what I need. I've been using it for several days now.
Good
And
find.
yeah, and
Yeah.
if I decide, yeah, this is something that really is going to be useful for me long term, I am absolutely just going to pay for it.
So does this supersede any settings that you have in your notifications, or
Nope, this is
because I forget what I
independent.
turn on. Okay. All right. But I could very well turn everything off in my notifications and just run it through this.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
just put in the applications folder so it doesn't have to be installed. It
Yeah.
just installs direct.
Yep. Yep. Slick little app.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's not doing anything in the system settings.
How do you find these things, Jeff?
I have very specific needs and have learned how to craft searches that address my needs. And then sometimes I will go to like ChatGPT or Perplexity and give it very, very specific parameters on what I'm looking for and see what they can find.
Okay, just curious, and I think probably listeners would be curious how you managed to bump into these things.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
and sometimes I will be telling friends and colleagues, here's the problem I'm having, and they'll tell me what they found. So word of mouth is super useful for me too.
Yeah, you just have to give accessibility permission, and it doesn't look like it's taking over too much security.
No, no, I think it doesn't seem to be interfering or encroaching into security settings, as far as I can tell, at all.
Yeah. Oh, they look started long ends already turned off already. So you can, that's so, because a lot of apps you install them and they'll just, oh, let's just start it up automatically no matter what. And sometimes I hate doing that. I want to launch it when I want to use it.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. All
Good
right.
find.
So, I think I spent for all of you the least amount of money compared to what you're spending. So you're welcome. All right. It's time to wrap up. Dave, where can people find you?
You find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Vision Profiles podcast with Marty and Eric on Mondays. Have a blast there. And then we're on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights with Chuck and the gang here and others. And Thursday nights, we usually record on In Touch with iOS on the YouTube channel. And then Fridays here. And I am on Blue Sky and I'm on Mastodon at Dave G65.
Awesome. And Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me at macvoices.com. That's where we are hip deep in our gift guides, our annual gift guide shows. There are more coming as we record this. So get on over there if you still need ideas for things that you want to give or get. And Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, as was already mentioned, on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And I'm hanging out on all the socials to one degree or another as at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. Okay. And Marty, how about you?
As of today, you can find me taking naps for the next month because the
You're
semester's over
right.
and I will only get out of bed for Vision Profiles on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with Dave and with Eric. Of course, Mac Voices and the whole gang on Tuesdays with Chuck at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Thursday with In Touch with iOS with Dave. And then I've got, I love to come to this. This is, they're all my favorite shows for different reasons, but this is a favorite show for me to be on, with the Mac show. I've got a slew of podcasts that I'm doing. You can find them at, thepodtalk.net is the website, and just some new stuff coming out and really enjoying it. So take a look at that. You can reach me at Gencius, Jencius, at mastodon.social or also Blue Sky.
Awesome. Okay. And then for me, Jay Gamut on all the socials, most active on Mastodon, Blue Sky, and PixelFed. Although since it's December, I am active on Instagram as well, because that's where a lot of people look to see my my daily posts for my Lego Advent calendar. Then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS. Here for the Big Show and the Mac Show on the British Tech Network. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and Patrice Brendamore and I do Retro Rewatch. And Marty, you said this is one of your, oh, Dave has the mug. Mine, I was drinking out of yesterday, so it's in the dishwasher. So thank you for representing. Marty, you said that this is one of your favorites, and I'm with you. I look forward to Friday mornings every week because I have so much fun getting to hang out with truly awesome people. And I'm glad we're all friends and that we get to do this together. Yeah. So thank you to all of you. And hey, and thank you to everyone that watches and listens live and participates in the live chat. So glad you're part of this. As well as everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, we're all one big happy family. So glad we're all together. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Odd Technology, thank you for being our sponsor. And okay, so next week on Thursday for the big show, we are doing our Christmas quiz. And then we will be doing our Apple specific Christmas quiz on the Mac show on Friday. And then we'll be taking our holiday break after that. So be sure and join us for the shows next week so that you can see just how badly I do at our holiday quizzes. It's sad. Patrice will give me a question that will be about something that I brought to the shows and was very passionate about and have absolutely no idea what she's talking about. So, you know, it's great just to watch me crash and burn every year. So anyhow, come and see the holiday shows, and then we'll take a break and be back after the first of the year. So everyone, have an awesome weekend, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.